Hear this reading. Behold, the Savior of mankind, nailed to the shameful tree. How vast the love that him inclined to bleed and die for thee. Hark how he groans while nature shakes and earth's strong pillars bend. The temple's veil in sunder breaks, the solid marble rend. 'Tis done, the precious ransom's paid. Receive my soul, he cries. See where he bows his sacred head. He bows his head and dies. But soon he'll break death's envious chain and in full glory shine. O Lamb of God, was ever pain, was ever love like thine?
We are here tonight to remember an execution, to watch in our mind's eye an execution that took place earlier today, almost 20 centuries ago. I have images in my mind of modern-day executions that I have garnered from watching TV newscasts and movies and novels, rightly or wrongly. The modern-day execution in my mind takes place in a prison somewhere in Texas. There are various groups of people present. There are the warden and prison guards and the prison chaplain, all crisply, almost robotically, doing their jobs, following their checklists, being professional. Then there is a group of people invited to sit in a dark room inside the prison where they can watch the execution through a window. These may be relatives of the person who will die. It may be relatives of the victim. It may be others invited by the person being executed to be there as witnesses. In my mind's eye, there are two separate groups of people outside the prison. One group is there to protest the execution. This group includes some nuns. They are holding signs saying, "Abolish the death penalty." They are singing hymns and crying. The other group outside the prison are those who have come to celebrate the execution. They are holding signs that say things like, "Watch him or watch her die," cheering and chanting and waiting for the big moment of celebration to come. Then there is another group still. This is those of us watching from home on cable news, eating our suppers, drinking a beer, watching updates throughout the evening on cable news until we finally see the lights of the prison dim and we crumble our last beer can of the night and throw it in the recycling and head up to bed. Jesus' execution was not much different. There were Roman soldiers and officials more or less doing their job professionally. There were those like Mary, Jesus' mother, and his youngest disciple John standing near the cross where they could watch Jesus die. there were a group of women weeping, and there were those shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then, because the Roman authorities made crucifixions a holiday and encouraged ordinary people to attend so that they could see what happens when people challenge Roman authority, there were crowds of people sitting a distance away with their families, eating their lunches as they watched those being executed, hanging on crosses. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Or maybe the question is, where were you? Where was I in that crowd when they crucified our Lord? We've listened again this year to a reading of the story of the crucifixion based on the account in the Gospel of John. Traditionally, John is the most popular crucifixion account to be read or sung on Good Friday, the Passion of John. One of the questions the Gospel of John wants to ask is, who is really to blame for Jesus' death? In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it is pretty clear that Jesus was executed as a revolutionary and as a rebel by Roman authorities in collusion with the high priest of the temple, who were upset about Jesus' populist teachings and his latest act of turning over the tables of the money changers in the temple earlier this week. State and church colluded, cooperated, worked together to get rid of Jesus, to crucify him. By the time the Gospel of John was written 70 years after the fact, one of John's themes in his gospel is, he came to his own and his own received him not. John's version of Jesus' execution suggests that the Romans executed Jesus begrudgingly, and the only reason they did it was because the Jews pressured them. So the Jews were really mostly to blame. Reading this story out of context, as through the centuries we always seem to do again and again with the Bible, reading this account out of context has helped fuel 2,000 years of discrimination and persecution of Jewish people who have been forced to live in ghettos, who have been outlawed, and who have been murdered in the millions upon millions. But even post-Holocaust, even after the Holocaust, we still ask the question, who is to blame for Christ's death? There's a church in California whose podcast I listen to regularly. Some time ago, they did a service on the question, are all religions really alike? Do all religions really teach the same thing? So they invited an interfaith panel to come to the service, and as the sermon that Sunday, the pastor interviewed the people on the panel. There was a Muslim, a Buddhist, an agnostic humanist, an evangelical Christian, and a Jew. At the end of the sermon, the last question the pastor asked them was whether there were any closing remarks they wanted to make. The Jewish panel member said a couple of things, and then ended by saying, remember, it wasn't the Jews who killed Christ, it was the Romans. Apparently, the evangelical Christian may have been Italian because he immediately began saying, wait a minute now, it wasn't us. So go back a minute to the images in my mind's eye of a modern-day execution. Say the person in Texas is executed, and it is discovered later that he was really innocent, as has actually happened. Who is to blame for his unjust execution and death? Is it the prison warden and guards and chaplain following their checklist, doing their jobs? Is it the relatives watching in the special dark room on the other side of the window? Is it the weeping nuns? Is it those celebrating his or her execution on the prison lawn? Is it you and me at home watching cable news over our suppers? Where was I? Where were you when they crucified our Lord? So far this year, 2014, there have been 17 persons executed in the United States. Ashkari Muhammad, 62, was executed January 7th, 2014, in Florida. And then there were 15 others. And then Jose Villegas, 39, was executed in Texas 2 days ago, this past Wednesday. I had to Google this because executions aren't even news anymore. While Ashkari Muhammad and 15 others and Jose Villegas were professionally, almost robotically being put to death, we weren't there at all. Unless things change, one out of three African-American boys born this year will spend time in prison during their lifetime. One out of six Hispanic boys will spend time in prison during their lifetime unless things change. They are being crucified. We keep trying to find somebody else to blame for Christ's execution. But we were all there. We are all here. And most of us are sitting in the crowd, eating our lunches, while Christ dies.